freedomradio.com and incidentally the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. Indeed, you can even join us in the chat room at the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. I think if you Google Vinnie Eastwood and chat room, it should come up. And hi to those people that are already in there. There's Devilson, Freda, and other people as well. And I think we have a very special guest calling in for us. But before we go to him, there was a few news stories on this morning. I've taken to getting up early now and just sort of watching the news early in the morning. Now, you know when Gaddafi had allegedly a few crowds and then allegedly one of his jets strafed those crowds, which later revealed to not have been the thing that happened at all, according to Russian satellite imagery. Well, guess who's going to be flying jets over huge crowds of people now? You guessed it, the London Olympics. You're going to be flying jets like low over the city and stuff like that, freaking everybody out, breaking windows. Goodness knows what, you know. It can always get worse, of course. You know, and you wonder, this is to help against crowd control, right? Right? How does a Hellfire missile benefit crowd control, I wonder? Something tells me it kind of doesn't. The other thing that we really needed to be interestingly cognizant of is recent moves by the New Zealand government to get really, really angry with boat people. And of course, there's substantial reasons why New Zealand should be afraid of both boat people. After all, we've never had one. Ever. There's never been a single quote-unquote boat person that has ever come to New Zealand. It's never been a problem. So naturally now we need to build all these big internment camps to house all those dangerous people, don't we? And they ain't going to be used on the people that come across on the boats. They're going to be used on the people that are already here, you and me. Oh yeah, that's how they sell it to you. Sorry. The government are a bunch of criminals who want to exterminate you. Yes, don't worry about it, though, because we can talk about your health, how to get wary, how to get wise, and how to stop playing into the hands of ruthless sociopathic criminal scumbaggery and their associated lies and filth. With a little bit of truth, a little bit of health, a little bit of sanity through cackling. Indeed, that's what the show's all about. My very special guest is Sean Gallagher. He's a chiropractor and a vegetarian, I think. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Professor Eastwood. How are you?
Professor? Mate, I'm sounding like I'm going to cook up some kind of philosopher's stone with alchemical, dark occulted mysticism.
Yes. Well, that is third generation chiropractor and third generation vegetarian gone vegan going fruitarian.
Now, does third generation mean you're one third as good or three times better?
Three times better. My grandmother was a chiropractor. My grandfather was a chiropractor. My grandmother had the biggest chiropractic office in Detroit for four decades. She was a vegetarian. My father is a chiropractor. He's been practicing for 47 years now. He currently has the biggest chiropractic office in Detroit. He was raised vegetarian, and he raised my brother and I vegetarian. Throughout the years, I became a vegan. We had some eggs growing up, some cheese, very little processed foods. I since have eliminated all animal products and processed foods from my diet. And I'm currently, say, 85-90% fresh fruits and vegetables is my diet, with a small amount of beans, like legumes, raw nuts, etc. And I am slowly transitioning to a 100% fruit and vegetable diet. I've never felt better. I've been fortunate to have been a pretty good athlete my whole life, and I can say at age 41, I'm quicker than I ever was before. I have more endurance, stronger, my coordination's better, reflexes are faster, my vision, hearing, you know, all my senses are much better, and I can really attest to this. It's quite fantastic. And being adjusted my whole life, I've realized that my adjustments hold a lot longer. I hardly need to see the chiropractor anymore because toxins are the primary cause of subluxations. And we try to, as chiropractors, teach people to eliminate as many toxins as they can, you know, primarily in diet, drugs, vaccinations, pollution, tap water, you know, things like that.
I love it how the doctors in general and the medical profession, they recoil from the idea that diet can help you with disease and what have you. You know, they look upon this sort of diet measure to keep yourself healthy, horrified, you know, as if it's like a bad 1950s horror movie, like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, the AMA in the 1940s did a massive study that proved that the vegetarian diet is superior. But, of course, they neglected to bring this to the public because they know when people eat animal products and processed foods that they're going to get sick and then they'll have more repeat business. It's very well known. You know, you have the AMA, the Meat and Dairy Association, the alcohol and tobacco industry, and, of course, Big Pharma. They all work together as a team.
Yeah, and of course, and what's happening now, speaking of Big Pharma, is that all the farms are getting taken over by Monsanto. So all the good products that we would all expect, perhaps organic or whatever, or family farms essentially, are now just being bought out and taken out.
Very sad, very sad. But, of course, you can always grow your own garden. And I hear people say all the time, well, I live in an apartment or I can't, you know, I don't have room for a garden. There's an unbelievable ways you can grow a garden indoors in a very small apartment. You use the shelf, you put shelves around all the walls. You can get some grow lights. You can use regular soil or hydroponic soil. You know, where there's a will, there's a way.
A library bookcase. Do you have any idea how many plants you can fit on that?
Quite a bit.
You know, it's like a whole wall of food that you can grow inside. And all you need to do is just put that by a window.
Yes.
Water it every day. I mean, what's the problem? It's not as though you have to travel
the long distance
to get it.
The thing is a lot of people, you know, they're addicted to the heavier foods. You know, you are what you eat, and if you've been taught wrongly, you know, that you need to eat animal products and processed foods are okay because they're FDA approved, you know, you get addicted to it, and you have to really transition slowly. I always recommend that to people, to slowly incorporate more fruits and vegetables in the system, slowly wean off of animal products. You know, and just take your time and enjoy the process. I love to tell people to start experimenting with ethnic cooking. I mean, the best vegetarian foods on the planet are from like Ethiopia, from India, from, you know, Thai food is all based off, most of it's based off of vegetarian. You know, and slowly incorporate those foods in your body, and you'll appreciate and enjoy fruits and vegetables the more you become them.
Yeah, that's true. I remember one time I tried to just eat fruits and vegetables and my sense of taste got really, really sharp. And when I started eating bad foods again, I sort of started to, it was like my body was starting to reject it. Like,
yeah. So I wanted to start off by giving you the classical definition of chiropractic. This was written by B.J. Palmer, the developer of chiropractic, and his father was D.D. Palmer, who discovered chiropractic. But B.J. really, he moved mountains. He was the man. Okay, now, real quickly here, this is what B.J. wrote. Chiropractic principle and practice is to adjust open occlusion, release pressure, restore normal quantity flow between brain and body, that innate intelligence can, does, and will rebuild normal rhythmic energy wave flow to reestablish normal rate of functional and sensibility tissue cell activity to a healthy level. Now, a more of a modern definition is the philosophy, science, and art of all things of natural. The philosophy, science, and art of helping restore and maintain normal neurological connections within your body through the application of the specific chiropractic adjustment in order to maximize your expression of health and life. And I like to say real simply, we take the hard bone off the soft nerve.
Yep. How exactly does that work? Because my brother's a chiropractor, and I think goodness knows how much debt he's gotten into, because those medical schools are extremely expensive, man.
Yes, $200,000 for the full ride. It's a lot to pay back. I'm actually, and a couple other chiropractors are working on an online chiropractic program where, you know, a lot of the chiropractors in the States don't like that concept. But basically, you know, you have maybe 5% of people in the United States get adjusted. In the world, it's less than 1%. You know, we want to try to build a program where you can, you know, get a chiropractic education if you live in Thailand, Africa, you know, anywhere in the world, and make it extremely affordable, make it, you know, to true chiropractic, the philosophy, the science, the art, learning how to adjust, learning about natural diet of man, you know, everything of natural, learn all the natural arts so that we can actually help prevent subluxations in the first place. And let me go back a little bit. Chiropractors, we adjust subluxations. Can you say that, Vinny?
Subluxation.
There you go. That is a hard bone on a soft nerve. That's when a vertebrae gets out of its proper alignment and causes pressure on either the spinal cord itself or the nerve that exits the spinal cord. The brain runs everything, and the information travels down the spinal cord and goes in between the foramen of the vertebra, and it goes to your organs. And what happens is if your vertebrae are misaligned, then that communication from the brain to the body is not going to work properly. So we find with our hands, we locate where we feel the vertebrae out of alignment and specifically adjust it back into place so the nerve can flow freely. And that's what's called a subluxation, is when the vertebrae is putting pressure on the nerve, and we adjust subluxations. But back to the online education, I think really that's the future, because, you know, our BJ Palmer's goal was for everyone in the world to get their spine adjusted. And we've been around since 1895, and we're, you know, only 5% in the United States and less than 1% in the rest of the world. But there are 90,000 chiropractors right now, and we're growing. So, but one more thing I want to say on that point is that, unfortunately, okay, you have about 20 chiropractic schools in the States, and you have about 15 in the rest of the world, primarily Europe. There's a couple in Australia, Korea, Japan, a couple in Mexico, Brazil. Okay, you have the New Zealand School of Chiropractic. But you have the medical community is giving candy to these chiropractors that are practicing, and the chiropractic, the board members of these chiropractic schools. And in candy, I mean money under the table. They are slowly trying to make the colleges where they're, you know, allowed to prescribe drugs. And it's just like the osteopaths were very similar to chiropractors. And, you know, that now you can be a dermatologist and be an osteopath. So, you know, but this is for the weak, you know, and I wouldn't even say weak-minded, because a lot of the chiropractors are just taught wrong in school. They don't know, you know. So, but generally I want to say, too, you have two types of chiropractors. You have a straight and a mixer. A straight is where we just adjust the spine so, you know, you have 100% nerve flow, and we teach people to live naturally. A mixer is the guy that works with, in my opinion, a mixer is a guy that works with attorneys, and he's an ambulance chaser, and he's trying to prescribe drugs or do, you know, electric stem, you know, that works with PT and MDs in his office and tries to rack up the insurance.
These people are scum.
Well, they're naive.
No, I'm talking about the people that try and actually influence the naive people. Like, you get a doctor, right? Somebody who's of above average intelligence and capacity to study things, right? And then you send them into a place where they get sleep deprived, they get put into a herd mentality, they're taught to compete against each other. It's like cult indoctrination. And so you turn what was a really good, idealistic person with amazing potential into a machinery of the state.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, it's just, you know, the schools have become so medically orientated. I mean, we have every class an MD has in school, and we're learning all these medical courses, and the students, they start thinking that they're like a real doctor, and some of them will wear white clinic coats at work and the stethoscope around the neck, and they start, you know, just, you know, working with the crooked insurance companies. And instead of, you know, the school should be teaching more philosophy, more how, you know, teaching them how to adjust properly and, again, diet, and, you know, and how to run a business. That's the big thing. They don't teach you how to run a business. It's difficult. You get out of school, you have $200,000 in debt, and then you need to, you know, build your office up. It takes a while to build it up. And, you know, these guys, they can't get patients in. They don't know how to do health talks. You know, you have to do a talk every week, in my opinion. And they can't get them in. So then they start thinking, well, how can I get more money with the same amount of patients? Instead of trying to think how they can get more patients and make it more affordable for them.
Mm. So on the one hand, they want to prescribe them drugs, which will make them, you know, a bit more money on the side. And on the other hand, those drugs will make the patients sicker and make them come back more frequently.
More money. Yes. Now, again, you know, I'm not trying to bad rap the profession, but you do. I just want to let you know there is a divide. So if you look up a chiropractor and you want to get adjusted, try to find one that's straight, one that's more wellness-orientated, you know, versus he, you know, treats diseases.
Well, hold on a sec. We're coming up to the break here. We'll be right back with Sean Gallagher. You can call in 218-339-8525 if you need any advice. Right back in just a few minutes.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
The following I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto,
Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor.
Yes. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Sean Gallagher. Hey, Sean, do you even have a website?
Sean, Total Health. Pardon?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Pardon?
I can hear
Hello.
You.
Yes.
So you do
can
have
you hear
a
me?
Website then?
Yes. TotalHealthSystems.com.
TotalHealthSystems.com. Sounds very Orwellian. Nice.
Now, I wanted to give you a quote here by, let's see if I can find it. I had this written down today. this is by Albert Einstein. He was a vegetarian, and he wrote, "Nothing will benefit human health and increase chances of survival for life on Earth as much as the evolution to a vegetarian diet." And there's an Indian guru. His name is Gur Nanak Dev, and he wrote, "You kill living beings and call it righteous action. Tell me, brother, what do you call an unrighteous action?" Thought that was pretty profound. You also have, I'm sure you may know this, McDonald's is the number one destroyer of the rainforest. It's outrageous if you think about how many acres of trees they have to destroy for a cattle to graze upon, and then, you know, they make the burgers. I mean, it's eating animal products causes one-fourth of the entire world's pollution. Yeah, the methane from the cows, which destroys the ozone layer, the destruction of the rainforest, the destruction of the water table. It just goes on and on. You know, this distribution of it with all the gasoline used for that. There's three primary reasons I think people should be vegetarians or vegans. Would be for your health, for the planet and for the animals. Now, as chiropractors, we try to teach. A good chiropractor will teach his practice member how to prevent these subluxations in the first place. You know, in our founding father, D.V. Palmer, he wrote that there were three causes of subluxations. You know, your hard bone on a soft nerve, and that is thoughts, toxins, and trauma. Obviously, trauma. You have the delivery process. I mean, there's a lot of children that are born with the vacuum assist or with forceps, causing all kinds of major traction and pressure on the cervical spine. Yeah, the kids are, you know, they're running around, they're falling all over the place. You know, car accidents cause traumas, a number of things. And you have thoughts of fear, thoughts of hate, thoughts of, revenge, you know, all these negative emotions, yes, these things cause, mental stress, which can cause subluxations. And then you have toxins. And I've been fortunate enough to, you know, pretty much my whole life to look up really what is toxic, what is natural. And I'll tell you, processed foods, vaccinations, you know, pharma, you know, these things are terrible. The tap water. We have to live life as natural as possible. Now, if I can change the subject a little bit here, now you look at the 90%, a little bit more than that, of the entire planet, people are dark-skinned. And that says to me that for millions of years, man lived primarily near the equator or close to it. And fresh fruits and vegetables grow year-round in the equator. And I believe for thousands or millions of years that man ate primarily fresh fruits and vegetables. And as some men migrated to the north, it gets pretty chilly up there in the north. And a lot of men had to kill animals to survive in those cold winters because nothing grew fresh up north. So I think that we need to go back to our tropical diet. You look at our closest relatives, not ancestors, but relatives, and, you know, it's the ape family. The vast majority of monkeys, orangutans, gorillas, they eat roughly 90% fresh fruits and vegetables. Some of them do eat meat, and it's generally when they can't find fresh produce. So I think that's an interesting theory to dwell upon.
So basically, meat is a last resort when you're real hungry and the season calls for it. And I've got an interesting story a friend of mine told me a long time ago. He was talking about this biologist who was looking at different strains of plants growing in different environments. And he found that when the same strains of plants, like a pahutakawa, for example, it's kind of like a New Zealand Christmas tree, were growing in the tropics, they actually grew better and faster and actually, in a lot of ways, evolved faster. So that was an interesting concept in and of itself, that things evolve faster when they're growing along the equator, where it's a fairly even temperature the entire time.
Yes, and you look at, let's face it, the African Americans dominate sports, particularly in America here, you know, football, baseball, basketball. Now, they do have a strong drive and a lot of willpower, I believe that, but they also have very good genetics, and I believe, again, that's from thousands of years of living in the tropical regions of Africa. You look at the most advanced civilizations in the past, the Incas, the Mayans, the Aztecs, and even the pyramids, they're saying, was at one time very tropical in Egypt there, and I believe that these people gained extreme intelligence because they were eating primarily fresh fruits and vegetables and getting sunshine all the time, which is good for you. If you eat terrible, if you eat a lot of processed foods, a lot of white sugar, alcohol, other drugs, animal products, your skin is not going to adapt very well to sun. It's going to hurt you. You're going to get sunburned. But if you are eating really good, you're in adjustment, you're exercising, you're not taking drugs, your body relishes the skin, the sun. I mean, I'm actually, you know, I have some native Indian in me, and I have mostly Polish and Irish. And I'm pretty, you know, white, generally, you know, my ancestors. But when I go out in the sun in the summertime, I get very dark, very dark. And it's amazing because, you know, we had some processed foods growing up when we were a kid, very little. You know, some eggs and cheese, like I was saying. But I've eliminated that. I've eliminated alcohol from my diet. I've eliminated, pretty much all garbage. and I get extremely black in the sun.
Man, that's very interesting. You basically kind of like a some kind of human leathery lizard that can change color, you know, change pigment. You blend into the black. You can blend into the background.
Well, what's funny is because I have green eyes and blonde hair, and it's like people, like when I get really dark in the summer, are like, wow, you know, it's like, wow, look at this guy, you know. It's kind of funny.
Like a black Beano.
There you go, the black Pollock.
Oh, my goodness. Like a Gene Simmons lookalike. Just thinking about this, because we were talking about the medical profession and the pharmaceutical industry before, and I had somebody ask me the other night, you know, Vinny, do you have any videos about the pharmaceutical industry for sale? And I was like, no, I don't, which was strange because I've done a lot of work on it. And I was just thinking for a second, my goodness, they make a shockingly large amount of money, don't they? So how much money can you actually make out of people that would ordinarily be buying their drugs, which are way more expensive than a DVD?
You're talking pharmaceutical drugs.
Oh, yeah.
How much money they can make. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're aware of this.
Psychotropics.
Pardon?
Specifically psychotropics.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, the Xanax and the Vicodin and the Oxycontin are the worst. It's synthetic opium. I mean, I've done a lot of research on my enemy here. And, you know, they basically take 80% of all pharmaceutical drugs are directly based off of herbs. But most of them they get from the Amazon, and they replicate them. Now, back in the early 1900s, the laws changed. They made cocaine illegal, opium illegal, and they made marijuana illegal, marijuana in 1937. Because basically they made a monopoly. You know, the legal drugs are alcohol and the pharmaceutical, but the cocaine or the coca in its purest form, like the Indians in Bolivia and Peru use in Colombia, marijuana, opium, those are illegal. So the government makes a whole bunch of money with the AMA and the pharmaceutical on the synthetic legal drugs, along with the alcohol. And then they illegally make, now since they made the drugs illegal, the cocaine, the marijuana, and the opium, they say the profits are about 16 times more. So they're making tons of money on it illegally, you know, the illegal drugs, tons of money on the synthetic drugs. I mean, it's just then they, of course, when you get caught with them, then you go to prison, and then taxpayers have to pay for the prison, you know, to keep them running. It's just pretty terrible overall, you know. But again, it comes down to the diet, in my opinion, because if you look at the countries that use the most animal products and the most processed foods, they use the most drugs. Because those foods tend to drag you down. They make you sick. They make you feel depressed. And then you want a drug to try to feel better. So if people start eating better, they're just not going to want to be taking the drugs because they feel so good all the time.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for, you know, you don't have to just stop eating bad food all of a sudden. Just start eating more good food as well.
Well, yeah,
I should have this burger and fries. Maybe I should have an apple afterwards instead of a sundae.
Well, there you go. It's a slow process. You know, like I said, enjoy yourself with the process, but take it slow. But you will notice you'll feel better if you slowly incorporate more fruits and vegetables. Yes, and also, you know, if you want to eat some meat, I recommend that you get the free range or you go hunting. Something like that. But you don't want the factory farm meat. They feed these animals the worst of the worst scraps of scraps, and they inject them with all the hormones and the steroids.
Yeah. And also you want to wash it down with a beer.
I'm really against alcohol. I just think that, you know, this is the United States government admits this, 80% of all rapes, murders, suicides, domestic violence, they're all done under the influence of alcohol. I mean, it's just a terrible drug.
But are they under the influence of only one beer?
Well, I'm sure they're a little bit more than one beer.
Exactly. So one beer is okay. And this is how European culture, I was told, I had a friend of mine from Belgium when I was a lot younger, And he said that when you're drinking in Belgium, you generally drink, you know, you have one beer, two beers, and that's kind of it. That's it. You have a few drinks and no real more, that people don't get overly intoxicated, and it's a healthy part of the culture. But it seems for some reason people think that you can have a really, really great time when you no longer have control of yourself. I'm not sure if that's the way we should be thinking about it. I really don't think so. Maybe you could have a good time discovering something about yourself that you didn't already know. Or about somebody else, perhaps. You know? But just to lose control, throw everything away, or everything up, as the case may be, it's just stupidity in the extreme. You know, it's never happened to me purposefully after it happened the first time. It's always been accidental since then on, because I do not like the whole hangover and destruction of virtually my entire being whilst praying to a porcelain goddess. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's not good. It's not good. Sean, are you still there? Apparently not. You might have to hang up and call back in, Sean, because we have some problems with the phone sometimes with keeping people on the air through that way. So, yeah, just hang up and ring on back there, mate. Now, the other incident that I wanted to report with regards to your health and what have you is Codex Alimentarius. And in New Zealand, this is known as the food bill legislation. And there's also another whole bunch of rafts of scumbaggery coming up as well, not just the food bill legislation, but also the basic shutdown of natural products and healthcare, as well as now heading for New Zealand or legislation of the like. So, you know, people got to get really, really mobilized, because this is actually concerning now to everybody, because if they start it here in New Zealand, that's usually a test case for starting it elsewhere, or it's already happened elsewhere. Maybe even people are trying to rally against it in the States right now. Take care of your communities and point out what is going on. Your health is the last line of defense. I mean, do you have any idea how difficult it is to fight a war or fight against any enemy of any kind if your health is in terrible condition, if you're tired, if you're intoxicated? You're going to get killed, man. This is a very important issue, and I think people need to pay a heck of a lot more attention to their health and the life of their countrymen. And this whole Obamacare thing, it has nothing to do with taking care of people's health. It has to do with forcing everybody to do what the government tells them to, including being euthanized if you're deemed by a registered physician to be too old to be worthy of proper treatment, so that you don't die. That's what kind of cost-cutting measures that are trying to be implemented yet. It's...
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie H. Foot Show. There's nothing crazy about me, allegedly. You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I urge you to, if you only just tune in for me, and then thank you very much if you do, but for goodness sakes, you know, tune into the American radio stream before, because sometimes we have like Christopher Green from Green Wave Radio. He's incredible. And Kevin Barrett, Truth Jihad Radio. and also after it as well, where sometimes we've got mixed bags of recordings of different shows, and I'm not sure if there'll be some kind of schedule. But basically, almost anything that gets played at American Freedom Radio is really, really good. So, yeah. Take a bit of advisement from somebody who has the experience. Anyway, my very special guest, Sean Gallagher, has returned. Sean, welcome back.
Thank you. Well, you know, to solve the problem with a lot of our elites here, I think that if you study the diet of what these top bankers and the old guys in the Vatican and some other big CEOs and government officials, they generally
eat. We don't have to eat pieces of small children, do we, Sean?
Well, or drink their blood. But they eat a lot of animal products and a lot of processed foods, and I think that that makes them more to be on the take. There's been very interesting studies I've read. They did these studies in the States with the orphanages and juvenile detention centers, and they experimented with their diet. They would take some of the kids and give them their regular meat and dairy and crap food, pardon my French, in their which they feed them like they do the prisoners and the soldiers, and then they gave a lot of them, or the other half, fresh fruits and vegetables, primarily a vegetarian diet, and they put things around there, like they would have like a watch, or they'd put some money and kind of sneak it in a corner somewhere, and they noticed that the kids that were on the healthier diet were not stealing as much as the ones that were on the poor diet. I thought that was very interesting. So, and well, another interesting...
Your behavior gets determined by your diet astronomically. You know, you ever met somebody who's real angry and just yelling all the time, short temper or whatever? What are they drinking? Coca-Cola.
A lot of Coca-Cola, a lot of McDonald's burgers, you know, with all the hormones and steroids in there. No, and then you have, I was going to say, what's very interesting on a positive aspect, too, is one-fourth of all college students in the States and England now request vegan meals at the cafeteria. More children are being bored by midwives than ever before. More of them are getting are not getting circumcised. More people are seeing chiropractors, naturopaths, herbologists. And I believe that the newer, younger generations, as they are being healthy from day one, a lot of these guys, these kids, will grow up and be running these large corporations and governments and pharmaceuticals, et cetera, and they're going to say, you know what, we're just not going to take this anymore.
Now, that's what you call a natural advantage.
Yes.
Talking about your chill down time, you know, how long do people who go to work who have a very poor diet take to recover at the end of the day? Well, basically, they don't recover at the end of the day. They spend the rest of the day watching TV, then go to bed after eating.
You know, yeah, they pop a couple of Vicodins or a 12-pack of Budweiser, smoke a pack of, you know, Marlboros and, you know, whatever. You know, zone out on the tube.
Mm-hmm. Or they could combine their two obsessions with watching stuff on screen and fast food, and they could hook up with Mark Zuckerberg online on their Facebook.
There you go.
For like 16 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah.
I just went to the bathroom. It was awesome. You know, there's a lot of stuff that gets posted on Facebook. It's not all gold out there.
No.
No. And I think we're entering into a society now where basically there's becoming this split. I think some of the eugenicists might be slightly correct, because there is a split in humanity between those who are currently brainwashed and those who are starting to wake up or who already have to all the poisons that they're ingesting. It's like if you had to identify how many poisons you've got in your body right now, how long would it take you, if you knew them, to rattle them off? It'd take quite a long time. I think even when babies are born, they have about 200 chemicals in their umbilical cords now.
Oh, yeah. The BPPs are terrible. You got plastics in the system. It really screws up the hormone system, the hormonal system. The tap water, I mean, I remember years ago I'd get, like, every year in the mail, the government would give me a thing from the water company, the water treatment centers, and it said, our city has passed the suggested levels of lead, mercury, you had in there chlorine, fluoride, acceptable levels of these things. I mean, the tap water is really horrific. Like chlorine, if you look on a good dictionary, chlorine says a yellow greenish halogen gas, highly toxic, used for to purify drinking water. Does that make any sense?
I love it. You use things that are toxic to make things better. The logic ain't there, okay? Therefore, the intention to actually clean the water isn't there either. So what's the actual intention, considering what the chlorine really does? Well, the intention's to poison you.
Yes. To keep you dumb and keep your willpower down so you won't rise.
So you keep an entire population perpetually sick with a million different devices that are occurring simultaneously. You tell everybody these big lies and get people in lab coats to perpetuate that lies, and suddenly everybody believes it, the whole world round, and everybody's getting sick, and no one knows why.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really disturbs me more than anything lately is the chemtrails, because I've really seen a lot of them here, and I know they're all over the place. Now, see, I can control my diet. I can get adjusted. I can control my diet. I can exercise. I can do yoga. I can abstain from alcohol and prescription drugs and vaccines. But, I mean, how can I stop breathing in the air?
Good question. More to the point, how can you stop micro-sized, nanometer-measured nanotechnology from getting into your bloodstream, as is happening now? Have you seen Max Egan's new film, Transformation?
Yes, it's very interesting there. I mean, do you think that they're trying to do some type of, put the metals in you, and then that way they can use their cell towers or the other heart machines that they have to somehow manipulate your thinking of your brain? And I know they can control your or make your certain emotions rise more or rise less with electromagnetic radiation and energy. But do you think that that's one of the I mean, I think they're doing it for weather control, for crop control with Monsanto, where only the seeds of Monsanto seeds can withstand these chemicals. But do you think that they may be having something lined up there to try to control our thinking with all these metals in our system?
Here's the question. Do you think that the people that are pulling chemtrails off are the kind of people who would like to kill two birds with one stone?
Possibly, but how dumb can they be? I mean, they breathe it in themselves. Their children breathe it in. You know, they must be brainwashed.
Maybe they believe, and this, I think, was the point that Max was trying to make, is that these people are insane. Okay, so what they're doing to us is just as damaging to them as it is to us, but they think that they can control it. It's the same old story that you see in every single film about some bad guy who thinks that he's going to summon some great evil that he can control and take over the world or whatever. And what these people are essentially trying to do is what Max explains in the film, is that they're trying to make sure that a fiber substance, which can be controlled remotely and grows itself inside your body, will be sprayed from the air and it'll start to incorporate and take over all of your bodily functions until all of a sudden you're a slave.
It's a possibility.
And I see no reason to doubt that it's a possibility. Whether or not it really is the case, I think, is also kind of a moot point, because that's the agenda anyway, regardless of what methods they're using. We all know that that's stated and admitted fact, what they really want to do to people is turn us into a post-human, emotionless race of slave cattle, allegedly like it used to be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of years ago right here on Earth, according to some researchers. Like, we're talking about like an old-school
bloodline with all of these very scary, intricate, dark, ancient rituals and demon possession passing on through the ages and all that stuff that you'd expect to see in a really, really good horror film. And the funny thing is, these horror films and the Hollywood movies and all this technology that you see on the sci-fi films and all of that kind of stuff, people aren't actually that creative in a lot of ways. So people's natural assumption that there's no conspiracy because people aren't really that smart or that creative are actually correct in a lot of ways, except it's you that's not actually that smart. And these people who have come up with all the ideas that have permeated almost all of our culture since basically day dot. We're already slaves of the mind. They simply want to make us slaves of the body, and now they have the technology to do it. That is the only way that they think that they'll have control of humanity forever, because there is no way to escape from the air that you breathe, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break with my very special guest, Sean Gallagher. You can call in 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be right back.
Smokestack, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Into
the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. I know I seem to make fun of a lot of things that just kind of plainly aren't funny, but how else are you supposed to have a life worth living if you can't laugh about these terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things that happen every day to everybody? Starts growing on you. Like a bad fungus after a while. Well, at least that's my theory anyway. I think having a laugh about all these things keeps you sane. And if I can do it, I can help other people have a fun time too. And maybe I'll save a few other people from the rapture and terrible consequences of having too much conspiracy theory and not enough cackle. All right, there's a balance. The key to balance is swinging to either extreme and being able to come back to the center again. As far as I'm concerned, I could be wrong. My very special guest is Sean Gallagher. Sean, welcome back.
Top of the morning to you.
It is top of the morning, and it is the second hour as well. So we'd like to be taking some callers. So if you want any health advice or anything like that, are you keen on dispensing some free health advice, Sean, if people call up with ailments or whatever?
Absolutely.
All right, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 from the pseudo-physician-esque chiropractor known as Sean Gallagher, who won't give you advice that will cause you to have psychotic breakdowns and shoot school students.
Hopefully not.
As Xanax and Prozac. I mean, I wonder if a carrot's ever caused somebody to have a kind of violent outrage episode and hold up a school or something. As far as I know, only psychotropic drugs do that.
Yes, I don't think carrots are going to do that. I think what's interesting is you study the Shaolin monks for hundreds of years. These guys are vegetarians, and they're like the best athletes in the entire world, in my opinion. They're the most peaceful people on the planet. You can just go on YouTube and just look under Shaolin monks, and you just see these little children doing unbelievable athletic things. These kids aren't on Alderol or Ritalin, which are class A amphetamines. According to the AMA, Class A amphetamines are the same as cocaine, the same exact class. In America, you have 1 out of 5 children on synthetic dope, synthetic speed. It's disgusting. 1 out of 5. What you have is the nurses are taught to look for Johnny if he's a little restless. Johnny goes down to the nurse. The nurse in the school says, calls up the parents and gives a hard sell on why Johnny needs the speed or he will be kicked out of school. The nurse is directed, if the parents say no, to call the MD, and the MD gives the parents a harder fear-based sell.
So they're looking for customers. And what's interesting is the power play here, because they can force you to become a customer.
They're working on it.
By mandate or law, you have to take this drug. Well, they can tell you that you have to take this drug, and because they've got a coat on, you might believe them and not question them.
Yes. They don't let the parents really know that they don't have to. Like with vaccinations, they tell all the parents that it's mandatory. They don't let them know that there is an actual option where they can get a waiver for so-called personal beliefs or religious beliefs. They don't let them know they have that option. They say he will be kicked out of school unless he gets this done, unless he gets the shots that are full of mercury and MSG and aluminum. They put formaldehyde in there, antifreeze. They put aborted fetal tissue cells in vaccines. So if you get your so-called flu vaccine, you are getting aborted fetal tissue injected in your system.
Yep, that's true. What was it, Planned Parenthood or something like that? They hooked this deal up with all the pharmaceutical companies that they'll be harvesting all these fetuses, and then they'll be sending them into labs so that scientists can chop up these babies. Fetuses, I believe, is the technical term. This is horrific, and I'm sorry for those of you who are listening or have a weak stomach, but this is the truth. Chop them up, grab their organs, grow viruses on those organs, just like they'd grow viruses on monkeys with normal vaccines, and then that genetic material with the baby DNA and everything like that gets injected directly into your bloodstream with your vaccines.
Well, you know, Vinny, everyone really wants superior strength and superior thinking. And I believe if you become a fruitarian, get your spine adjusted, play sports every day, get some sunshine, and stay away from all the drugs and toxins, that you will have superior thinking, superior athletic ability. But since the medical profession, you know, they think they can do it synthetically, they're really trying to make us into superhumans in their perverted minds. And with these so-called advancements of drugs, they try to alter our chemistry, and they really think that they can do it chemically. But there is an innate urge to try to be stronger and faster and have superior intelligence. You can try to do it synthetically, or you can do it naturally.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at Facebook right now, one post by a good friend of mine, Brandon. Your body's ability to heal is greater than anyone has permitted you to believe.
That's excellent. The body is a self-healing, self-regulating organism. You know, it's designed for reproduction, excretion, assimilation, and rejuvenation. There's an old saying that chiropractors used to say. My dad used to say this all the time. He goes, every 7 years, I'm married to a new wife. Because every person is new in 7 years. Like most organs take 6 months to a year to be completely new. Your bones and teeth take 7 years to be new completely. So that gives one faith, because if you do a 180 on your lifestyle, you can be a completely new person. Like, old age is not us going around the sun year after year. Old age is, in my opinion, due to an accumulation of toxins year after year. I mean, there's people in Okinawa live the longest in the world. It's pretty much a tie between Okinawa, people that live in Sardinia, Italy, and Costa Rica. And I've studied their diets. The Okinawans, there's more people in Okinawa that live to be 100 than anywhere in the world. They are eating primarily fresh fruits and vegetables, some sweet potatoes, some tofu, very little fish, and very, very little processed foods. Now, the newer generation of the Okinawans, they're starting to eat the fast foods and taking the drugs, and you can see a rapid decline in their health. But you got to study what do these cultures that live the longest, what do they do? And they're not using drugs. They're not getting vaccinated. They're not eating processed foods. They're eating lots of fruits and vegetables.
Yep, indeed. And we have a caller calling in now. We have Tim in Wisconsin. Tim? What's up, man?
The situation I have is I ended up getting a condition come back on me that I had a long time ago, which is whichever one you want to call it, panic or anxiety attack. The thing that's really made me wish that I could have gotten things going better enough money-wise a long time ago, and I told a doctor, the reason the thing that made me wish I would be able to have got things going better enough money-wise a long time ago is so I could have taken care of the panic attack thing, natural with something natural called Bliss from a company called Market America, and I feel it would have been better if I wouldn't have said yes to seeing this one doctor I'm in a city called Lacemith, and there's this other town called Rice Lake that I probably shouldn't have said yes in the first place to seeing the psychiatrist doctor in Rice Lake, because then I end up getting they end up trying to put me on this medication I was on a long time ago called clonazepam, and I just didn't feel good about going on it again. I still kind of feeling so much like really wanted to take care of it naturally with this stuff called Bliss, natural stuff called Bliss from that company called Market America, and then the doctor of mine, which is a woman, she told me that her and whoever looked that this stuff up, and she said it goes $40 for a 15-day supply. But I looked on the website of the company myself, and I saw a bottle for $37 something with 60 tablets, and I thought, well, I don't know where they're looking, because that don't sound like just $40 for just a 15-day supply to me.
Tim, that's called a markup.
Yeah,
they just buy it, give it to you at a way more marked up price, just for the convenience of it. Kind of like how a convenience store stuff's a little bit more expensive than a supermarket because of the convenience of it.
Oh yeah, she also said about the clonazepam that her and the psychiatrist doctor trying to put me on that also because it's cheap, and she said that stuff is more effective than the natural Bliss stuff, but I just don't know about that, how much I feel able to believe that.
Did you ask her to show you the clinical trial printout where it shows you the amount of bad reactions and everything? It's on every packet, it should be, so you can find out what's in the pill, what the known side effects are, and, what happened to the people in the trials. And when you look at the trial sheets, it doesn't seem that bad. You had a couple of people go unconscious or have stomach cramps or other debilitating stuff, but on the whole, people were nice and it was all good, right? So what they do with these trial groups is they get people who are extremely healthy with no history of any kind of any disorder whatsoever, like these superhuman freaks that they get into these trials to try and make the drugs look good. And then, even then, these drugs still mess them up. So look at it. It's all in the printout sheets, man. If you always want to wonder what your doctor's prescribing you, it's always written right there, okay? A friend of mine was in a psychiatric institution, and I asked the guy what medication he had him on. He says, blah, 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 something like 7 syllables. And I was like, okay, does that have any side effects? And he goes, I don't know, maybe a little bit of weight loss, perhaps. And I said, nothing else? And he goes, no. And I was like, okay. So I went back home and I Googled it, and there was something like 50 side effects. About maybe 35 of them were extremely serious. And I texted, and it took me two different texts worth of putting these symptoms down, symptom after symptom on a text, to my friend. And he sent them back to me, and he says, bro, I have all of them. So these side effects, so-called, are actually the intended effects of these drugs.
I forgot to think about that. I forgot to think of a, you know, what do you call it, that tells all the side effects that print out. I forgot to think of, you know, I just totally forgot to think of that.
Yeah, yeah, and I love it because they're full of tiny little words, and the paper's all bundled up and rolled up together, and so like it unfolds exponentially. It's like, did you ever see Hellraiser back in the day, Tim? You know how he had that magic box that kind of suddenly whoosh, and then just kind of came out, and then it was into a different dimension of evil and horror and terror. It's not entirely different.
I never seen that movie.
Yeah. Maybe you should now. It'll scare you almost as much as the pharmaceutical companies scare me.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Well, get your spine adjusted. Find a local chiropractor in your area. Maybe get some massages. Start doing some yoga or stretch at home yourself. Drink distilled water. Distilled water is the most purest water you can drink, in my opinion. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Eat nothing processed. Get off all pharmaceutical drugs. Never get vaccinated. Just, you know, start playing some sports. Get some sunshine. Do some deep breathing.
Yeah, breathe. Slow down. Go for walks. Get some sun. And I always find that hanging out with positive people who inspire you, educate you, that you have fun with really helps as well.
I for sure get walking and walking, like, instead of taking a bus everywhere. I do walk. Maybe I'll take a bus, you know, to one place, and but then anywhere else I have to go. I also have to go in the area that's in the area. Then I'll just walk to those.
Yeah, I mean, just make sure you stay active. You know, it's the difference between somebody spending their later years in a retirement home, basically not really being able to move without a walking frame, to just basically being independent.
Yeah.
You know, it's repetition, man. Even somebody who's been playing pinball for 30, 40 years or something, getting into their old age, still just as good at pinball today, even better than anybody else, you know. Keep yourself in practice, you know, and the same goes for everything, you know. Keep your mind in practice, keep your body in practice, keep your heart and your soul in practice, keep your morals in practice as well. Most importantly, you don't learn anything if you don't go through a few moral dilemmas in your life, I've found. But Tim, I wanted to really thank you for your call, man. And you know, if you ever wanted to hang out with anybody who's fun or whatever, you know, you're more than welcome to call in, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, man. You have yourself a nice day, huh?
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call in too. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And a very special guest, the chiropractor du jour, is Sean Gallagher. And we'll be right back after this little break. You can join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Join the other misfits in my fabulous, fabulous chat room. People, oh, they're so awesome. Lots of funny stuff being said in there too. Lots of fun. All right, we'll be right back.
Gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right.
There's
nothing good on TV.
Just keep the feed up, just keep listening to it.
You haven't had your social netball team practice, huh? So you're not too tired? Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I get out my prescription pad. We'll and you say, write me a prescription for some of that Xanax, baby. And I say, I know what you mean. It's business time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a molesting psychiatrist, and I will give you psychotropic drugs and other experiences, too, with my prescription pad and my pen. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of disturbing. My very special guest is Sean Gallagher, whipping out his prescription pad. Prescription, all right, apples, oranges, and bananas. Kind of like, it's a very incomplete sentence, that kind of like license and registration. Did you ever hear that, Sean? There was a guy named Rob Menard in Canada, and he was talking about how sentences are sometimes incomplete. You know, cop comes up to your window and he says, license and registration. So he looks at him and he says, apples and oranges and bananas.
I like that. I always, whenever I got pulled over for speeding when I was a little bit younger, I would, I'd say, like, you know, almost like an English accent. I go, "Hello, officer. How may I be of assistance to you today? It is a great afternoon, isn't it?" And they go, "With you might, you know, because I had really long hair in college, and you know, I used to roll my own cigarettes, natural organic American spirits, and they looked like little roaches in the ashtray. And the officer would want to search my entire car, and I'd let him, because before, when I didn't let him, I'd have to sit on the side of the curb for about an hour and a half until the dogs came. But the whole time they're searching my car, I would educate them about chiropractic and the advantages of being a vegan, and I would do it with love and tell them to have a great day. And by the way, the government brings most of the hard stuff in anyway."
Oh, yeah. And I think that's how you have to treat the situation when you're with police officers, as an opportunity to educate them, because they're holding you against your will. So what you could do is you could educate them against theirs.
Yeah, the whole time I'm talking to him, and even if he's getting upset, I just keep educating him the whole time.
You know, you make him rue the day he arrested, he held me up, buddy. That'd be the way, I think.
Well, see, Pardon?
You got to be very kindly, don't you?
Well, yeah, you got to, you know, do it with respect. You know, they don't like sarcasm, I noticed, and but just do it with love and respect, and just be smart, you know. I mean, if you do smoke marijuana and you travel, have it rolled up into one big fat joint and get ready to eat it real quick. No evidence, no crime.
Yep, this is true. Habeas corpus, bring forth the buds. I find that the drug war is a very interesting dynamic, because on the one hand, you've got illegal drugs, which are incidentally the ones that actually cause the least harm. And according to World Health Organization studies, are the ones that actually cure and help most bad conditions and what have you, versus the pharmaceutical drugs, which are essentially synthetic copies of those natural things, which cause all sorts of problems and are ridiculously expensive and can't be grown by anybody in their backyard. I mean, has anybody ever seen a Xanax tree, you know, where you just crack open the nut and there's a nice little printed Xanax tablet inside? No, it doesn't happen. Maybe if Monsanto gets involved, there could be a Xanax tree.
Yeah, it's just terrible, you know. You know, if drugs were legal, you'd be able to get, like, the pure coca leaves if you decided to do that, make a tea out of it. You'd be able to drink marijuana tea. It would probably be, like, a dollar. You go to your local coffee shop and drink some, you know, some herbal tea. But since it's illegal, the drugs get stepped on. They turn opium into heroin. They turn coca leaves into cocaine. You know, they put kerosene in there.
How many chemicals do you need to actually use in order to refine coca leaves into cocaine that's powdered? You need to use a lot of them, and a lot of them are solvents and very poisonous.
Yes, yes. The worst is the kerosene, in my opinion. And then, of course, the drug dealers step on it and put in, synthetic amphetamines. You know, so half the time you're getting speed versus the coke, you know, probably 5% coke. It's terrible. But again, it's I always go back to, that man innately wants to feel good. And you can do that naturally. You can feel good all the time if you just, grow a garden and eat that. You know, eat fruits and vegetables and exercise, play sports, meditate, do yoga, get adjusted. You know, we have this ability to feel good all the time naturally. But, you know, if you're eating heavier foods, animal products in particular, they make your body very acidic. And so that the drugs, what they do, even in the most natural state, the drugs, they counterbalance the poison. So it's like one poison to counterbalance another poison.
It's like the lady that swallowed the fly. The lady that swallowed the spider to catch the fly that was in her soup.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
When will we ever learn, man?
Well, we're learning. We're learning, man. The young college kids, again, that one quote I gave you earlier, 1/4 of all college students in the States and England request a vegan meal. You know, people are waking up to the dangers of vaccines. I grew up in the 70s, and vaccines, everyone thought they were great, you know, and more people are realizing they're bad, thanks to people like you, you know, and others that are exposing. I always find it interesting. The truthers are almost like chiropractors. You know, they're teaching people the dangers of all these synthetic drugs and the processed foods. You know, and, you know, the more you learn about how negative the government is, the more you realize how totally tightly associated they are with the pharmaceutical and the meat and dairy industries. So you're doing a fantastic job yourself. You know, the more people are learning all over the world, you just got to think positive.
Well, you do have to think positive, but you also got to be really realistic about it. You know, like the world isn't going to change without getting involved. And a lot of people just say if you just sit around thinking positive, you know, good stuff will happen. It's like, no, man, you have to actually make that good stuff happen. You have good ideas, and then you put them into action, and that's how good things happen. There's nothing mystical about it. It's pretty
strange. Yep, the firefly only glows when it's in action. You know, you look at Gandhi. Gandhi kicked the number one power of the world out of India, which was Britain. At the time. And he did it with non-compliance, with education, love, non-violence. If you look at some of the things he did, you know, he boycotted, you know, he basically had people starting growing their own foods, have them quit working for England's factories, making their own clothing. You know, that just look what Gandhi did. I mean, he's such an inspiration. I think everyone should watch his movie. It's for free on YouTube, Gandhi. You know, the guy is so inspired. He was a fruitarian, actually, and he fasted. I'll tell you a little bit about fasting. Vinny, what do all animals in nature do when they're sick?
Stop eating.
Yes. They. When you do not eat, the body totally detoxes and cleans. You know, because when you eat foods, particularly the heavier foods, meats, animal products, starches, it takes a lot of energy to assimilate and excrete those foods. So when you fast, your body doesn't concentrate on breaking food down anymore. It concentrates on cleaning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we're taught that. Go ahead.
Well, it happens to the immune system as well. I mean, it's just basically when you're sick, what you need to do is have energy going to your immune system in order to fight off a virus, right? Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, that means I should have some high-energy foods. No, because it takes a lot of energy from your body to process those so-called high-energy foods. You don't need anything. Your body will simply react and protect itself with nothing.
Exactly. Now, I beg to differ that we even have an immune system. It's really called the lymphatic system. And mucus is what I believe is a major cause of disease. Mucus is caused from eating the wrong foods. If you start eating more fruits and vegetables and less of everything else, you will notice that you have to blow your nose less often. You won't have the mucus coming out of your ears or the Sandman in your eye. Women will actually, the menstruation cycle with women will be less severe. You know, with the ejaculation, you know, if you eat terrible acidic foods, a lot of alcohol and other drugs, you're going to be more inclined to have an ejaculation. You can't control yourself as much. The body's getting rid of toxins in so many ways. Dandruff in your hair or grease in your hair. Sweat every time you breathe out. And then I believe even the common cold or so-called the flu. I don't think you catch any bugs or viruses. Your body naturally is going through a detox process during the so-called flu.
And of course, they'll try and flu jab season has just arrived in New Zealand now, Sean. And they got
the flu jab
all over the place. Don't let the flu get you. Oh, the flu's a really bad thing. It'll make you sick for an entire week. But if you have a vaccine, none of that will ever happen. And there's zero side effects ever. You'd be stupid to not have a free flu jab from the government. It's obviously free because it just magically appears out of nothing and isn't paid for with your tax dollars.
Oh, yeah. A little mercury in the system's always good, huh?
Yeah. The mercury boogie.
That's probably the worst, most toxic thing you can put in your body. Mercury is one of the only metals that goes directly through the brain barrier. I've seen videos. You can Google mercury in the brain. They've done these excellent studies. You can see the mercury actually eating the neurons in the brain.
Yeah. Which begs the question, if you had problems with your brain due to mercury or something like that, would you know about it? Similarly, if you were brainwashed, would you know about it? The answer is you probably wouldn't. You'd just start to feel bad or whatever, and you wouldn't know why if you didn't know what mercury poisoning was, what the symptoms were. You know, that's part of the education we try to offer people here. In fact, do you know the symptoms of mercury poisoning there, Sean, that people might be able to, you know, watch out for?
Epilepsy would be one of them. Multiple sclerosis. You know, all kinds of really, you know, neurological diseases, dementia. You know, it's very easy to blame your grandparents or a bug is why you're sick, you know. That's what they'd like to say. Mm-hmm. It's either genetics or bugs. Those are the big culprits. Eat McDonald's, take your drugs, do everything. It's FDA approved. But you're not sick from your lifestyle. You're sick because of some mysterious bug floating around in the air or because of your grandparents. So your grandparents make you sick.
Yeah, as opposed to I have no thing in my diet whatsoever that actually has any vitamins, minerals, or proper nutrition in it. So
yeah,
I'm going to be sick.
Guess how many hours of nutrition medical doctors have in 6 to 8 years of school?
Zero.
Zero. And the so-called registered dietitians, guess who funds the books that they study in college?
The pharmaceutical companies.
The meat, the dairy, and the grain associations. And they're all connected to the pharmaceutical. So the meat and dairy and grain associations are telling these students, you know, you got to eat your eggs. You got to drink your milk. Have you ever seen a gorilla suck on a pig's tit?
Not recently.
No, I mean, I'd like to put a little twist on things. I mean, just imagine you, Vinny, sucking on a cow's tit for nourishment. Sounds like fun, huh?
Yeah. Could be somewhat erotic.
Yeah, you have the Dairy Association, you know, erotic. The Dairy Association.
I'm sorry. I just had to slip that in there just quietly.
Yeah, a little Freudian slip there. But you have the Dairy Association, you know, they spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to our crooked government and tell them, you know, they go in the public school systems, you have to drink your milk, Johnny. You have to drink milk from another species, milk that is designed to make a 2-ton cow, not a 12-year-old boy. You know, breastfeeding is the most natural thing on the planet, but the formula companies want to tell mothers that the scientists have actually invented formula and it's better than the mother's milk.
Oh, yeah. We got technology to replace everything. We got technology to replace people actually doing any real work, haven't we? Nobody has to, like, walk anywhere, run anywhere anymore. You just drive. You know, some people in LA bloody well drive next door.
Oh boy, it's silly. You know, a lot of cancers too. Are related. You know, for example, let me tell you something with testicular cancer. There's been a lot of studies where, like, men. They wear briefs all the time. Now, your testicles, they actually have, there's a muscle attached to them called the cremaster muscle, and it constricts if it's, which means the testicles are brought closer towards the body if it's a little chilly outside. And so it keeps the testicles at a certain temperature. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. But we'll have to talk about the chilly testes just after the break. But listen to the... You're listening to the Vinny Show, American Freedom Radio.com. My very cool guest, the smuggly character, is Sean Gallagher, the chiropractor. And we'll be right back. And we've got the caller, Rocket, in the Pacific Northwest calling in too. We'll be right back. Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on a very, very fabulous indeed American Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting live around the world. Now, my very special guest, Sean Gallagher, is still with us, and we have a caller calling in, Rocket, in the Pacific Northwest. Rocket, welcome to the program, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, salutations to everybody. I just wanted to say great show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Great.
I had to call in when you started talking about nursing. No, I'm just joking. I love milk.
Cow's milk or human's milk?
You know, when my first wife was pregnant with my daughter, she encouraged me to go ahead and try some, you know, fresh breast milk that she pumped out.
Yeah.
It was like swallowing snot. It was horrible. Couldn't figure out.
that's so raw, man. That's so raw.
And you know, I took a man's gulp.
There was some TSA checkpoint, right? And they made this lady skull half a cup of her own breast milk because it might be an explosive liquid or whatever. And after she chugged half of the thing of her own breast milk, they told her that because the package had now been opened, that she couldn't bring it on the plane after all.
And when she started to protest, they tasered her and her unborn child.
Of course.
Don't taser me, dude. Hey, Vinny, I wanted to call because you know I'm such a doomsday guy.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But there's a new poll if I could just swing this show a different direction just for 1 second. One in seven.
Both ways, man, so go for your life.
1 in 7 thinks the end of the world is coming. By Reuters, 15% of people worldwide believe that the end during their lifetime And 10% think the Mayan calendar could signify what will happen in 2012, according to a poll.
That's interesting. Coincidentally, 1 in 7 Americans can't locate America on a world map.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying there's a correlation here between stupid people and people who believe in the end of the world, but... yeah, I'm definitely not making that correlation. In fact, there's a heck of a lot of things that signify the end of the world. You know, Justin Bieber, for instance. I know now that the world was not meant to stay alive forever because of that one kid. It's unbelievable. The disgusting nature of the entertainment industry and everything that's going down. Oh, yeah. But there deserves to be an end to something. I'm not sure whether or not everybody deserves to die and be wiped off the face of the earth in the face of some gargantuan planetoid smashing into us like a ping pong ball into the side of a small baby's skull or anything of that nature. But I don't know. I've got three takes on the end of the world. One, it's a big psyop to make everybody stand down and go, oh, it's the end of the world. Who cares? You know, I'm not going to fight the New World Order. Not going to have some fun, blah, blah, blah. Ah, they got you. And then, of course, what if it's real? Then we're all screwed anyway, so there's no point worrying about it. So why don't you just have fun and make something of yourself before you die, you know? Stop being a coward. Now you got no excuse. The world's going to end. Now you can got no excuse to be whoever you want to be, you know? Forget about it.
I like your way of thinking.
The last one is that it's the positive prophecy that it's the entrance into a new age of awesomeness, golden age, enlightenment, wisdom, happiness, and a distinct lack of scumbaggery forever. And I like that.
Well, they say that it's a 20, I may be wrong, but 26,000 year cycle that our sun goes around another star called Sirius, and that every 26,000 years we make one orbit around this other sun. And that's kind of what the Mayans have been predicting. I think it's just really just a cycle that our galaxy goes around another sun.
Why the Mayan calendar is a circle, because what happens when you come to the end of a circle? It just keeps going round again.
Yes, yes. It's like, well, with the year 2000, everyone thought that all the electronics were going to get shut down. You know, it's just going to be another day that's going to pass. See, but I like what Vinny said there. I mean, we have to learn to be ourselves. Listen to our innate intelligence, the intelligence that runs your body, that makes you breathe without thinking about it, that makes your heart beat. Listen to your inborn intelligence and turn the tube off.
And I think that's a very profound statement in and of itself. Listen to yourself. Don't listen to the little box in the corner of the room. I mean, me, I don't listen to the corner of the box in the middle of the room per se. I'm not watching television. I'm monitoring enemy communications, because there's an awful lot of stuff that gets said in there that to the average person, you know, they wouldn't think twice about it. But to me, single word, a single phrase, or a way something is put signifies where that person got that idea and who they're parroting. Okay, and you see this all the time with politicians and news stories all over the place when they tell you mercury's good for you, vaccines or whatever. Sitting there, thinking about it, jotting it down, and then commenting it on the radio so that you have a counter spin to the BS propaganda that you normally have every day. And that's how I keep myself right, just in order to be able to watch television. You know,
you start
against it by consuming it.
Yeah, you look at the ads, you know, you have a McDonald's ad, and then there's a next ad for a drug because you have, stomach problems, because you have acid reflux. You know, put two and two together. You know, you have all the ads, they're bank ads. There's, a Chevron ad. There's an ad for makeup, which are all chemicals. Like, so you eat the terrible food. the junk food, the Snickers bars, the McDonald's that you see on the ads. Then there's an ad for makeup because it's going to make you, you know, you need makeup to look better because your skin's going to be terrible from eating the bad food. And then you need drugs to take because the food makes you feel bad. I mean, you just look at the ads. And then the shows themselves, you know, you have the Travel Channel. You have, Anthony Bourdain. That guy, I mean, all he's talking about is like, you know, there's the most beautiful places in the world that he's going to with the most beautiful ethnic foods, and all the foods that he's trying to sell you are the heavy meat based. You know, you look at all the cooking shows. They're all based off of animal products. You know, they want you to eat animal products because they know these foods make you sick, and then you're going to go call up your doctor and say, "I feel terrible," and then they give you the drugs.
Yeah, and I think we can view the same thing about end-of-the-world propaganda as well. I mean, how many films have come out about the end of the world? And we've been looking at the chat room, and somebody talked about end-of-the-world insurance. So, you know, with a T-shirt idea, it says, "I'm not worried. I've got end-of-the-world insurance."
That's crazy.
Exactly, because if the world ended, all the insurance companies would be destroyed. And there'd be no insurance policy to pay off.
No, yeah. The CEO of Chevron, he doesn't want the world to end. He likes his money too much.
Yeah, and I'm sure they like themselves too much as well. But the thing about crazy people is that they wind up destroying themselves almost every single time.
Well, they like fear. They want to put fear on us because they know that fear makes us less resistant to them. They, when people have fear, they're more prone to use drugs, and they like to sell drugs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, tyranny thrives in fear.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you one thing.
I think we have inadvertently discovered a very, very marketable product here, end of the world insurance. If the world goes to hell, you can count on us to, you know, pay back stuff or whatever for money that you give us.
Well, there were a bunch of people that were giving that religious guy money, the one that was saying that the end of the world was coming, the old man. They gave him like $8 million.
Wow.
Some people gave that guy their life savings. You know, been working for 40 years. And they give their last penny to some dude who thinks it's going to be the end of the world. Oh, my God.
Well, you know that the Catholic Church for years, the Vatican, you know, they put fear. You know, it's the fear of the devil, the pharmaceutical industry, the fear of the bug, you know. But fear is what they like us to experience, you know. You know, what really is scary is if you go online and Google the Supreme Court protects Catholic priests and pedophilia, you know, in the Supreme Court of Illinois and in California, they made it a law there where no priest can ever be convicted of pedophilia. I mean, that's disgusting. So if you're a good Catholic and you go to church and give 10% of all your money to the church because you don't want to burn in hell, then that part of that money goes to protect pedophiles. Absolutely nuts.
Well, I think that's included in part of the 10%.
Yeah, it helps pay the attorney fees, huh?
And incidentally, you know, you can't trust institutions. This is what I've started to realize, is that every single company, every organization, NGO, city, state sovereignty, or any organization that isn't actually just one person, it doesn't technically exist. The only thing that really exists is one person. So if you want to trust something, don't trust a brand name, don't trust an organization, trust a person within that organization. You know, don't trust the whole bunch of them because you don't know the whole bunch of them, okay? There's certain reputations and things like that that you don't want to deal with. But I'm sure even Monsanto, a company as evil as that, probably has good people working for them. You know, you got to come together on the points you agree and cast out all the rest, because if we spend all our time arguing and infighting, we'll never be able to inform other people about how to keep themselves healthy and throw off the shackles of all this inept and gargantuan scumbaggery. Sean Gallagher, thank you very much, and Rocket, thanks for calling in. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.